Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to this week's episode of Code Brew. We have a jam-packed episode, so let's get started.
Jam-packed? Is that a reference to the jam that you had when you went to brunch with your mother-in-law?
Well, we're getting right into it.
I haven't listened to last week's episode, but I've heard things.
I had to answer questions about prototypal inheritance because of you. Answer is generous too.
Well, I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be back with you guys. And I did have some jam at brunch, and it was a mighty good jam.
Of course you did. I bet you that smug look on your face.
Okay, guys. So we have a lot to cover. So let's just jump right in. Let's quickly just see, how are you guys doing? What are you guys up to this week?
Let's just go with branding because we're doing the same thing.
For me at work right now, I am kind of doing two things at once. On one hand, we are making some like improvements and just cleaning up different things, different requests from customer success team, and things that they've asked for. So just spending a little time, like after having just released some features, just kind of doing some cleanup, doing some rounds of improvements while at the same time fixing bugs and things like that. And then on the other hand, I'm going to be tech leading our next like large project. So we're starting to scope that out and figure out the technical architecture for that, which is going to be fun. It's a really cool project too, internally. And so we're going to be doing some really, really fun stuff, particularly with the data science team, which I'm really excited about. So, yeah. Hey,
congrats. That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's Thank you. Big honor, especially when I know that your team is, like, they're such high class engineers. That's wild. That's cool. I'm excited for you, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
So yeah, I mean, Joey and I will speak for both of us. Yeah, we're just working really hard pushing out a big, big update. So we started our day today by, I decided that I hated our store and I was going to redo all of it. So that set us back on timelines, but you know, it's really Joey's fault. So I'm just, yeah, I mean, that's all I really have to say. And kind of just pushing. Been really like, it's kind of forced me to ponder and be like, when are hooks the appropriate solution? When is the global store the appropriate solution? And I honestly think it might be like a Zen Cohen, because I never get an answer. I just like, there are times where I feel like it's better, but it's just been a lot of thinking about that. Like, do I necessarily need to keep this in state? Is this going to update too much? Blah, blah, blah. All the React problems, like, on the back end, we're using Elixir. So it's like, you just write like, do this. And it's like, all right. And then it's like, oh, I'm concurrent. And that's it. So just a lot of time in the front end recently.
Well, I don't have too much to add to that. We have definitely been working our fingers and our brains on this new exciting feature. And excited, I think, you know, what's today's Wednesday. So yeah, been making a lot of progress over the last couple of weeks. Well, before we jump right into our jam-packed content for this week, we have some cool news for our listeners and for us as well. This is a big milestone for Code Brew lore heads out there listening. And just a cool thing in general that I think would be cool to share, that really made my day, and I think it made your guys' day as well. So let's just, I'm just going to get to it. We got our first fan mail over the last week, which is super, super cool. And just kind of caught me by surprise because I was the one that received it. For those listening at this moment, we do not have a direct email that you can send to Code Brew, but we are in the process of working on that. And so keep an eye out or ear out for when we announce where you can reach us if you have any questions or just want to get in touch with us. But without further ado, this is our first fan mail, and it's from Stephanie, and it reads, I wanted to let you guys know how much I've been enjoying listening on my way to and from work. As a woman in my early 40s, finally working toward a degree in coding and development, I was a little hesitant when I first realized there were 4 or 5 seemingly young guys talking on the show. But I quickly realized it's not a bro fest, and each of your unique personalities really work well together. I just listened to the resume episode today, and I really got so much value from it, specifically about finding ways to implement knowledge at your current job, not just bullet listing your skills, but putting them in context and setting up projects in your GitHub repository. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work, Stephanie. So I just thought that was super cool, really nice, and a big achievement, I think, for us Code Brew heads. And just really proud that we, even if it's one person or I don't know, I know we got stats, but just the fact that someone, you know, has listened to this and got something out of it is pretty cool. So yeah, anyway, so moving right along.
Yeah, hold on. Wait, I have a comment on that. That was awesome. Thank you, Stephanie. That was really nice to hear. I think we need an official name for our fans. I'm officially putting in my vote, which is Brewhaz. But that's just my vote. I don't know if anyone else has opinions. Brewhaz? But yeah.
I mean, don't the fans have to like name themselves? Like, is that how I...
Definitely not.
Okay.
I mean, you said brew heads, so I don't know. I'm getting a lot of gap from the guy who just tried to sneak and co-opt it in there. Okay.
Hey, I just thought that was the natural, you know, that just felt really natural. Brew heads.
I like Brewhaz personally, but you know, that's just me.
Okay. Well, all right. We'll see what happens.
It's Spanish for witch. It means witches.
It's awesome. Oh, that's sick. Okay. I couldn't tell. Well,
I am a man of culture. I don't know if you know this, but I primarily appeal to women, even though that people think it's a bro fest. It turns out that we're somehow still applicable.
I thought you were meaning Haas as in like the German word for house.
Yeah, that's same. Totally same. I did not pick up on the fact that you were.
Wow, you guys are very Eurocentric. All right.
Well, to be decided. Name of our fan base.
TBD.
It's Brewhaz.
TBD. But yeah, okay. All right. So, I think we teased this a couple weeks ago. I don't know. You know, I was gone last week. Wasn't sure how much you guys brought this up, but today we are introducing our cool segment here that I don't know, again, naming, no idea, but at least we're just kind of trying to do something new. And Dane picked out a technology that he challenged all of us to work with and we would all present so that we could have some experience just having some fun with a new technology. So Dane, do you want to get us started, kick us off?
Yeah, for sure. So I chose, we're hoping this kind of comes a bit of a recurring segment on the show. I don't really get that much time to code for fun these days. And I kind of look at this as our opportunity to do that. So I chose what I thought would be fun, which was P5.js. It's a generative art. I don't know what they actually call themselves, but it's a generative art library, meaning let's see what they actually call themselves. P5.js is a JavaScript library for creative coding. Okay, so I could kind of circle around it because I've done a lot of work with 3.js, and you see it mentioned a lot, but it's basically a JavaScript library that lets you draw things. It uses WebGL to draw to the canvas, which basically means it can tap into like your video card or your GPU, and you're able to use that to kind of draw onto the screen. If you've ever used an HTML canvas element, it uses the same thing. So it kind of takes that abstraction. And then writes like a lot of little helper functions on top of it to help you go through, because I don't think anyone else here has written WebGL, but because it's a video card, the whole execution of it is stateless, meaning like there's no memory on a video card. They're just like chunky triangle drawing boys. So you just pass through. They're like pipes. It's great for me because functional programming, I don't care. Same thing. So writing WebGL was kind of a breeze. And by a breeze, I mean, I only cried a few times. But yeah, so it basically takes advantage of that technology and then puts some nice little wrappers, and you can write like circle and draw, and it draws a circle, and you can do little animations and stuff like that. So I can start us off if that's cool. Yeah, I'll start off with what I did. So first thing is, if you look at the README, which we'll post a link to the repo on the website, the first one I have, you can see here, is titled Coke Snowflake, right? Which is what I had. Okay, so what I set out with, this is my goal. Clearly overambitious. Maybe a better person could have done a better job. But I wanted to make, there's a terminal bonsai tree package that is written in C that I've seen people use in like their kind of Rice Arch Linux setups. And they use, it basically grows a bonsai tree in the terminal, and you can kind of like, it'll generate it. And so that was, it's ASCII. So my thought was like, once again, ASCII, for those who don't know, it just means like a set of characters. So it uses characters to draw, is what Brandon, we used to have to use for, emotes, believe it or not, because, you know, there wasn't always emotes. So I tried, that was kind of what I set out. And so first I saw something that said, described like, well, you have to know an L tree or an L system. And I was like, what is that? And they were like, oh, it's a system of describing, like algorithms that generate things. And I was like, okay, no worries. It's like, back up. They're like, here's a Coke snowflake as the simplest example. I was like, ah, yeah, let's back up one more step. What's a Coke snowflake? Okay, so a Coke snowflake, and I'll do my best to describe it over audio, is basically you draw a straight line, you take the middle segment of that line, so you break it into three, you grab the middle section, you turn it into a triangle, then that's pretty much it. Then you basically rinse a triangle that's facing outward. So you rinse, repeat. I would encourage you to look at it, but you rinse, repeat until you get these really cool. I think like the first iteration is just a triangle. The second iteration is like a kind of looks like a Star of David. And then it starts to get some really cool. It's like a fractal pattern, right? Because you can just tell it how many times to break up and recurse. I failed horribly with that. What's interesting is that I didn't have an issue generating the structure, but then translating that into P5.js, just because it was new for me, was kind of hard. And that's kind of where I kind of ran into my first issues with P5.js, which first of all, P5.js is amazing and such a cool way to get into this kind of concept of like generative algorithms or like creative coding. Is like it's such a fun little kick. I had a lot of fun. I loved that none of this felt like it served any useful purpose whatsoever. It was honestly very freeing. Like I really like that. And that's, I was really enjoying myself. They do have a lot of methods that replace, like I'm pretty sure there's a window method that overwrites the JavaScript window method if you use it inside of draw, which is like kind of their render loop function. You call setup, and then you call draw, and that'll run every frame. And the draw function, there was a lot of stuff in there that they had replaced. Like the names for them are sensible, and that I didn't really like it, but I also understand that like for a lot of people, this might be like a newer introduction to coding. So they're going to be like, what do you mean they've replaced the global window? A lot of people are just like, I want to see what it looks like to make a circle with JavaScript. Like, so I understand the design decision they made. I totally get it. But I completely failed at doing the Coke snowflake, and I abandoned. I set my sights much lower. So then I hopped into the Coding Trains videos, because they had a ton on P5.js. And he has a series called The Nature of Code, which was really cool. And kind of walks all the way through some of these algorithms. He's a math guy. incredible resource. I loved it so much. So I just kind of started down that path. The first thing that I did was the 2D Perlin noise. So for those that don't know, Perlin noise is essentially, it's going to be hard to describe, but let's say you select random points on a graph, right? There's no guarantee that one point and the next point won't be like really, really close together or really, really far apart. And what Perlin noise does is basically it smooths out, quote unquote, random noise, right? And it makes it so you can generate like structures. So the one that it always looks like to me is like mountains in video games, because it'll kind of slope between one point and the next. And so for my 2D Perlin noise thing, I just made a little sprite guy, kind of like a Dark Souls guy, running in front of some 2D Perlin noise that looks like mountains, which was pretty fun. And then the 3D Perlin noise, I didn't get too far on it, but it looks really similar to what's called Gaussian noise, which is like if you turned on your TV and you saw static, that's what Gaussian noise is. So 3D Perlin noise kind of looks like that, but it's a little more organic. And sometimes people will use that 3D Perlin noise. And keep in mind, 3D Perlin noise is just like 2D Perlin noise, except you add a third dimension, right? You just have a Z axis that is also kind of randomized. And the people use that generally to create terrain maps. It's kind of the same thing. Like if I wanted to create a 3D video game mountain map, I could use 3D Perlin noise. And that was pretty much it. I mean, in summary, I had a lot of fun. It was kind of a blast. I think I set my sights a little too ambitious. I think trying to make the bonsai tree generator right out the gate was kind of rough. And I mean, it's from two perspectives. One, like me not knowing P5JS that well, and me not just understanding, like, I mean, when it comes to generating these like fractal structures and L systems and trees and stuff like that, you know, I mean, you're dealing with recursive functions. And for me, even though I write a lot of functional programming languages where I'm working only in recursion, there is no for loops, which are, you know, imperative, I still struggle to kind of think about translating recursion to space, right? Or like how that translated to like an actual point in space, right? And trying to map that mentally was kind of difficult, but it did send me down the pathway of this kind of, I'm really into like foundational mathematics. And so there was something called the homotopy type theory that aims to describe types the same way that you describe objects in physical space, which is really interesting. And so it kind of took me down there just thinking, I walked away from this whole experience realizing like, oh, the line between like, and I knew this a little bit from 3JS and working with vectors and stuff like that, but the line between code and like things and space and time is really much thinner than I thought. When frames start to represent time, when you call the draw function, because it was like P5 is relentless. Every time you call draw, it'll just do the same thing over and over again. So you kind of got to work with like within this loop. I think it's a really nice abstraction for the brutal parts of WebGL, because that can get really, really complicated. All in all, like, I like how simple the library is. I like how it's very like, I feel like all the focus is on getting people to make something exciting really quickly. And I think all their design decisions reflect that. So yeah, I'll let someone else go on with their experience, but I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I really, really had fun coding it, which is surprising considering I do it all day and then I have to go down and sit down again, and I actually had quite a bit of fun. So
nice. Okay, I'm super curious about Joey's, just from the name. So I want to hear Joey's.
Yeah, I feel like you've definitely got to start with less ambitious GitHub names, which, to be fair, if I had named mine like Super Bonsai Tree, like I would be in deep trouble today. But yeah, let's hear the decision around the name.
Okay, so we need some prologue,
a preamble.
Yeah. So,
oh no, my guy's got Star Wars scrolling text for his project.
So, Okay, well, so I just want to back up a little bit and echo a little bit about what Dane said.
When I was born.
So, first off, when Dane introduced this, I was like pretty intimidated. I was just like, oh man, like I'm already getting slammed every day with something new. And I just, I don't know. I was just like, dang, this is like, this looks wild. But the P5JS, I will say, is pretty, the website is got a, it's got a nice little web editor in there. So you can experiment with all the cool libraries and the different functionality of it. And so I was playing around with that, and similar to Dane, like I kind of was interested in trying, when I first got introduced to this, I was trying to think like, gosh, what am I going to make? Because I think you're right. Like it's weird. I will just say like, it is very weird to approach coding in a way where you're not making anything useful. And I think, I know it sounds weird to say that because like, I feel like there's plenty of great things people do that don't have any purpose, but I've never, from how I got into coding and just how I think about it every day, it's always been about a purpose or like solving a problem. And even throughout my experience in a bootcamp, it was very, I gravitated very early on in like my projects, and just what excites me about writing code is solving problems. And so it was kind of weird to dive into something that was like, oh, this is just for like, it is just for fun. It's something cool. It's freeing. Like you said,
I feel like weird. You're like the fight club, Tyler Durden of coding. You're like,
yeah. Like you are not your pull requests.
Seriously,
we were never meant to make good software. We were never meant to be agile. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So it's weird. It's weird. I just kind of coming at something where it's like, oh wait, you can be creative with coding, and like, yeah, sure. Like you can get esoteric and like really like whatever with your code. And I'm sure people can look at like crazy real world things and be like, wow, that's creative. But I don't, my point is that I don't traditionally, like I ordinarily just look at code and be like, oh, I'm being creative today. Even though it requires like creative thinking, but anyway, so I was kind of intimidated, wasn't sure like what I wanted to do. And so I first was like, all right, well, I'm going to dive into like Codecademy and go through like a couple tutorials or whatever. And I did that for like maybe a day or two, and I only got through a couple lessons, and it was cool with introducing the, like, you know, the different, the way functions work within P5 and just kind of creating your canvas. And kind of getting familiar with drawing something on a shape. And I was like, okay, this is cool. But I got kind of bored and wanted to move things along a little bit. Didn't have time to go through all those lessons. And so it's really funny that you mentioned Coding Train, because I totally watched that guy's videos as well. His name's escaping me. But he's been doing this YouTube channel, the Coding Train, for a long time. And I ended up watching his videos from like 7 years ago or something at first, that were, he's done like two series on P5JS. So if anyone's listening and wants to check him out, there's like a couple of different series he does. And then, but I first watched one where he introduces P5 and getting into like socket IO. And so I was first kind of following along with that, those videos, and I didn't finish them all to like completion so I could complete his project, because I was kind of just trying to get a rough idea of like setting up a server. And I was also kind of curious about what he was doing with Socket IO, because I've never done anything with
Socket. I was also curious what you were doing with Socket.
Yeah, well, it was, well, the idea, if you follow along in the videos, was to, I think, if you follow along to the end. I think that his end goal of the project, if I remember correctly, was to make it so that he was trying to create the ability of where you could draw something on a serve, like on your end, and then someone else could go to the same link and they could draw, like, see your drawing, and then they could draw something. So I think working with Socket.io is a solution to that.
Yeah, it's web sockets, right? Same thing as Live View in Elixir that we're using at work, right? Like, you can use Live View. Web sockets are just, instead of like a stateless HTTP connection, meaning like HTTP connections are like, have this packet, okay, give me a response, right? That's stateless, right? It just sends it there and back. WebSockets basically just open the connection and keep the connection open so that you can have like a constant flow of information back and forth.
Yeah. Okay. That's much better. That's a more succinct way of explaining it. And so it was cool. I was just following along. I was like, okay, cool. I'm doing this thing. But again, it's like, I don't have time. Like, I kind of was trying to, you know, move things along and kind of start my own thing. During this time before, while I'm watching these videos, I'm kind of just, I don't know what I was being influenced by or what got me thinking in this direction, but I'm a fan of like surreal art and like artsy fartsy stuff sometimes and whatever. And something that came to mind at some point during the last couple of weeks was that famous painting that people listening may, or you guys may be familiar with, is that picture. It's a painting of a smoking pipe, and underneath it, it's in French, but it translates to "this is not a pipe," and it's by the famous painter René Magritte. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's a famous painting. And in my mind, over the last couple of weeks, I was like, oh, it'd be really cool to make like, have like a drawing or like replicate this smoking pipe, and then have the text transform from saying like, this is not a pipe, to this is a pipe, or something like that. And so it's kind of like thinking in terms of like transforming text, and I wanted to go in that direction. And so as I started looking, I just went down like a weird rabbit hole or something, but eventually I just was looking at enough of this guy's paintings, which were super cool. It was funny to go and like go through some of his previous work and just realize like, oh, I've seen a lot of these, or I didn't realize that it's just really cool to go down this real weird rabbit hole of all this guy's work. And so what I ended up doing, let me back up. So that's how I got to the name. So The Treachery of Images is the name of that painting, by the way. And so that's why it's starting to make sense. So that's why I named it that. Because originally that was going to have to do with a pipe and blah, 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 blah.
I thought it wasn't a pipe.
It's not a pipe, but whatever. Shut up.
This does not make any sense to me.
So I don't know where in my train of thinking I went away from that. I diverged, but I still I wanted to do something with him, with his work or something still. And so what I ended up doing is finding another painting of his that I believe is called Good Faith. And I could be wrong. I kind of just went in. I'm sorry, whoever's listening is like a big René Magritte fan and is just like, he's fucking this up. That's not the name of the painting. But anyways, what I ended up doing,
you should just tell them this is not a painting, and then they'll be like, Magritte, and you'll be like, Magritte.
That would have been such a better.
Like, I'll have a margarita pizza.
I should have named it. That's what the repo should have been. That's such a better name. This is not a repo. This is not a painting. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm already better
possible,
at surreal.
Possible podcast episode title. I don't know. But what I did, so I ended up taking a very real photo of that was taken in a museum. I don't know. I just found something on Google Images. And I think it was a picture of one of his paintings. And I opened it up in Photoshop, and it wasn't like the painting that I wanted. And so I just cut it out of the picture. And then I put in one of his paintings that I did want to use, which I think is called Good Faith. And the painting is a picture of just some ordinary man in a bowler hat and then a pipe, which is like floating in front of his nose. Again, famous painting, probably seen it. There's other iterations of it where there's like an apple floating in front of his face. Anyway, so my goal with what I was working on was basically to make it so that when the user is on, is at the page, the eyeballs will like follow your cursor. So like you move your mouse around and then the eyeballs kind of move around in the guy's head. And so kind of like follows your mouse. And then I still have this fixation on this text. I don't know why, but I wanted to like have like spray paint or like look like graffiti or something, or like something that like said something related to the painting, like underneath the painting, and that would like transform. But I didn't get that far. Instead, what I have is just floating eyeballs in front of this painting. And they're on, like, if you were to clone this repo and look at what I did.
Which I invite everyone to do. Just to be clear, you can do that.
The eyeballs, so... Again, I did a lot of Photoshop to do this, so we're like,
yeah. Just to be clear, you will have to install Express in order to run Joey's server. So,
whatever. Express is great. It works. It serves its purpose.
Serves your files.
Yeah. Nobody's mad at Express.
So like I said, I used Photoshop and I got this image, this painting inside of this picture frame, just like I wanted. And the way I went about getting the eyeballs like isolated was basically I just used some Photoshop, some pretty poor Photoshop, to isolate the eyeball itself, and then put it as its own image, but it's not sitting at the right axis on the right axis with where it's supposed to be, and so the eyeballs are just kind of floating along this frame with the face, and it's very creepy or just weird looking. But it's an unfinished work, but I think it's fitting. And the name of the repo stands, it also kind of fits. But
I kind of want to start messing with all of us now by just randomly going back to some of these old repos and then just submitting a pull request like a year later that like finishes it or something. Or just like changes one like way of doing things. It's just like no comment whatsoever. It's like a subtle dig. No, I really like it. I think you spoke
that
a little
would be
bit
a fun, about. Hey, that could be a fun segment. We just pick random people on GitHub and do a pull request. That would be actually
My brother-in-law was telling me about his buddy who will like sometimes just drink a little too much and then just literally go to newest on GitHub and submit pull requests on people's
that is amazing.
Which honestly, I definitely think we should do. We should do a live stream where we just pull requests on people's code that are just like very clearly new. It would be really fun.
That would be really funny.
But I think that Joey, you said something about or you were talking about how I think usually when I program, I start with like an end goal in mind, and I'm debating with myself, how do I get to that end goal? I think you touched on something that this process felt a little bit different when you're doing creative coding, where it was kind of, I mean, it can be one of either, but it seemed like for you, it was more of like an ad hoc process. And that's kind of how it was for me. I'd like throw something together and then like roughly be like, oh, okay. Like, I kind of like this here. And I was kind of like playing it by feel rather than starting with like a, a directive, which was cool. Cause like I've experienced that in other creative endeavors, whether it's like music or art, not that I've been good at either of those things, but, and it was kind of fun to take coding and like apply that same methodology of like, oh, what does this look like? Oh, I'm going to play with this. I'm going to mess with this. Let's see what that looks like. And kind of compounding on itself. It was cool. I don't think that's an experience I had with coding before. At least in a like direct way.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's something that just, yeah, it definitely made me more curious of like, and I think that that's kind of the goal, or I hope what happens with more of these projects as we do these, but whether they're quote unquote a creative code type of library or whatever direction, but it just got me thinking in a different way that I hadn't really done so with coding, which was really cool.
I'm curious to hear what was your experience, Brandon. I will say I've looked at Brandon. Brandon's was definitely the best out of all of what we did.
Oh no. For me, I had fun at this because it scratched an itch I didn't know was there, which I approached this and I made a little game. I made the classic game Snake, and I've made Snake before. I have a repo on my GitHub about it, but it's been 2 years, I think, is how old that repo is now.
So can I ask you a really quick question?
Yes.
How are you introduced to the game of Snake? What was the first way you played Snake?
Oh, I...
Because you got 10 years on... I've got 10 years on you.
Yeah, this is a good question, actually.
I believe it was an arcade cabinet in a pizza place that we went to, that I went, or my family went to as a kid. And that's how
That sounds like a core memory. That sounds nice.
That's actually a really good way to... That's way better.
It was my flip phone.
Same. I was going to say,
It was one of the only games they had on there. And there's no touchscreen or anything. So you really only have inputs.
Yeah. You had to use fucking number 2, 6, 4, and 8, I think, was like how you moved.
Yeah, which brings me to my first complaint, unfortunately, about what you did, Brandon, which I'll let you get back to in a second here. But you didn't allow me to use H, J, K, and L for the movement keys. So
there you go. There's the pull request you can do in a year.
As a supreme Vim Lord, even though Brandon's way better at Vim than me, but I have been using it for the last few weeks. I feel betrayed, you know, and your own people too. I'm just
I couldn't let the true gamer in me. I supported WASD instead. No, that's true. I probably should add that.
I was joking. Don't add that.
Well, that's the thing is that the game supports both WSD and arrow keys, which like something as simple as that is an interesting, like little things like that are interesting challenges. And it's one of the things that I love about game dev. Like I learned how to program because of the game Minecraft and building like little mods and stuff. And it kind of took me back. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. There's like a game loop and I got to render things on the rendering loop. And it's such a different way to approach development than what I'm used to now. Like, oh, yeah, you have a request, you have a response. I have to go talk to the database, which has a request and a response. Like it kind of all starts to blur together. And then you go to game dev and it's like, nope, we have a rendering loop. You got to render things inside the loop. You got to be efficient about it. You got to make sure you're rendering things efficiently and everything. So it was fun. And I was able to make a somewhat working game. There are some bugs, which if you play the game long enough, you will run into. For example, the apple or the little fruit that the snake eats can spawn on top of the snake or under it, which is not good. And so that could create some issues if you're trying to like get the highest score possible. So it's definitely not perfect, but I had a lot of fun making it. I think P5 is really cool. I think you can do a lot of just like simple things. And I think the thing that impressed me the most was like, really, I just needed an index HTML, which I shamelessly stole from Dane because I saw he had uploaded his code. I was like, oh, sweet. I can just take his and then wipe his JavaScript file and I'll be good to go. And then you just write the draw function and it starts rendering things. And that's it. There's no like, I don't got to start messing with DOM nodes. I don't got to start messing with like the CSS object model. I'm going to do any of that janky stuff that the kind of the browser and the web development world is known for. I just start telling it to draw boxes and squares and circles and stuff, and it does it. So it's really cool.
Yeah, I actually like how opinionated P5 is now. Like I briefly complained about like, oh, they take over some like native objects, but like I said, they're like, this is a drawing framework for people to have fun and be creative, right? Like, I don't care if Window has gotten redefined. Like, I don't care if like how unapologetic it is about its design decisions. Even if it was like mildly frustrating with me from another context, it very much tries to abstract all the details away from you and just say like, do stuff, which I thought was really cool. I really like that.
Yeah. It was just a lot of fun. I think this is a really fun like first project to get us kind of hit the ground running with this new segment or kind of direction we want to go with the show. Yeah, just fun. I would just say I had a lot of fun.
So I have a question for you guys. Would you use P5 in production?
I'll answer for Joey. I think it depends on what I'm producing. I really like the way that it generated noise and how simple that was. I would love to be able to use that in like 3JS or something to create three-dimensional noise structures and stuff like that. But honestly, I could probably pull in another library for that.
I would say no, because in my opinion, even regardless of any like tech or like whatever, like all the like rabbit holes you could go down for like saying why you should use it or whatever, like I think it's nice to have something that's like just like to play with, like that's just like not something that like has to be used in it as like a and now I'm second get now as I'm like saying this, I'm like, okay, oh, yeah.
Well, when Tyler on. Durden's done making their point, I could see it. Like I if you look at what Joey did, like he's got his little like eyes thing. I could see that being cool if you were writing like a museum website, right? I think it's so contingent on the use case, right? But I could see using it. Like the nice thing is the canvas nodes themselves, because every time you spin up like a 3JS or something like that, it spins up a canvas node as well. Like you can mount and unmount those relatively easy because they are stateless, because they're, you know, it's not very expensive to do so. So like it would be pretty easy to rock it in production by just dropping, even if you're using React, right? Just dropping in a canvas element and then just writing your little P5 script in there. Like it's pretty self-contained. So for that reason, and like the way the technology is, I could definitely see it like using it in production for just little web interactivity. But I'm also a psychopath about web interactivity and the web being a platform and not just a place to deliver newspapers. So I'm probably pretty biased.
I gotta say for me, like I think if you wanted to do like any kind of drawing functionality, for me the website that comes to mind is scribbly.io, which is like a drawing game, and I'm not sure they might be using just the canvas API or whatnot, but like I could see you could just use P5 to make a game or to make some kind of, you know, art exhibition, or use it on your profile to build something cool or some kind of like interactivity, and it's so simple to use and add that I could see it. I do agree the use cases are very specific, but it's like one of those things like, oh cool, now that I know about this, like if I ever run into that specific situation where I'm like, you know what would be nice here, I'll have a tool to use there.
Okay, so would you guys want to, should we vote on whether we want to do another project with P5?
Ooh, yeah, let's do the vote. The vote, the vote, the vote. So majority rules. So if we vote, if 2 out of 3 people tonight vote yes, then we continue with P5. We'll have a second part out. Otherwise, the rotation will switch, and I believe Joey is next in the rotation. If the person doesn't have a technology they want us to learn, they will skip it. And I hope, Joey, that you do not skip it, because I know for a fact that Brandon is going to make me do Java, which I'm totally prepared for and will probably make me. But I definitely want, like, I'm a little concerned that I'll immediately go out and buy khakis and wear them at waist height and go and work in a cubicle. I am terrified of Java, but anyway, all right.
Coke bottle glasses. Hell yeah.
So boom, let's vote. I'll go first. I love P5. I love it a lot. But I am eager to move on, because I realize the breadth of what I have to learn in order to do the things that I want to do is much larger. I'd really be totally cool with sticking in the realm of creative coding or generative algorithms. Like, I'm cool with staying on theme if you want to do that, but I'm going to vote to skip past P5 specifically right now.
I too am going to vote to skip it.
I three am also voting to skip.
Okay. It's awesome. Unanimous.
And honestly, like, let's be clear. It's not because P5 isn't great. P5 is fantastic. It's just that easy. That now it's really like, I feel like I need ideas. I don't really need to like learn P5. I feel like I've learned aspects of P5, right? It is that simple, which is more testament to their engineering. That's awesome. I like how they were very specific about their use case. All right, so Joey, you have something?
I do have something. I've teetered on two of them, but I think this is only the second time we're breaking new territory. We're going in a new direction with this. It'd
be wild if Joey said Angular.
I'll fucking kill myself.
No. I will spare you the drama, the suspense.
I'll spare you the drama.
Let's do, I want to do something. I want to do something in 3JS.
Oh, okay.
Must be truly desperate to come to me for help. I rock 3JS. I'll do this all day, baby. God. Time to run circles.
Oh, God.
I just really like creative coding, and I'm scared for like when Brandon's turn comes up, because I don't think it's going to be anything about creative coding. And I just want to bask in this little like bubble of like, hey, I'm trying to have fun right now. And also just, we did a little 3JS on our front end. And I have only barely got to glimpse its glory. And I think it's like long-term, it's something that I think is really, really a goal of mine would be to get better with, or just have a more of a mastery over like long-term. And I had ideas about things that would be really cool to build with it. And so it's just something that's very, very cool to me, and something I think would be a lot of fun. And and so I'm excited to kind of, I want to learn more about it, and I'm sure it's going to really, really be difficult and break my brain. We'll see if what happens, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I hope you are, because I'm going to let you know that this is now the rotation. It's going to go 3JS. Great. It's awesome. I rock 3JS all day. I love 3JS. I'm excited to showcase my skills, because I think I'm actually pretty decent at it. And then it's going to go to Brandon, and it's going to be Java. And forever, however many episodes we stick on that, that'll be fun. I mean, it'll be good. It'll make me a better person. But I hope you know immediately after that, we're going directly to Haskell.
Oh my god.
Shoot, okay. Baby, we might go to Haskell right away. Like,
oh, who knows? Shit. Okay. Oh, you want to bring it? You want to bring it?
Everything in the light god. Is yours, Simba. Just don't go into the darkness.
I'm definitely going to make us learn Fortran at some point, just because I have no idea how array based languages work.
I was thinking the same thing, but about COBOL.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. If we do COBOL, I feel like I'm definitely have to get, I don't know. I feel like we're definitely going to have to start doing some themed stuff. Like if we do COBOL, also rocking the khakis. Like I might just shave the tops of my head and give myself like the monk tonfa, since I've every COBOL developer I know has had like 10% of their hair left, because they all are incredible developers that learned it when they were like in their 30s and now they're like 90.
They are the segment that is 50 plus years of experience on the Stack Overflow survey.
Yeah, they have to be. It's so funny, in my boot camp we had two COBOL developers. And it was so sad. They're brilliant programmers, picked up on it so quickly because they've just been programming their whole life. And I remember, I was like, so what's the deal? Like, do you want to be rewriting COBOL? How come you're doing this? You know, he's like, every time they say, this is it. This is the year that COBOL will finally be dead. And then I get some call from some bank and they offer me some ridiculous contract and I just want to do something else. I don't want to write any more COBOL. Yeah, I was like, man. Oh man, I'm so sorry. But I also like, it's also like kind of a bit of a privilege to be like, they're just trying to pay me money and I can't say no. Like, but I have definitely said that before. Like, it's funny. I've had some friends say that like, oh yeah, I knew I interviewed this place. It was great, but they use Redux, so I don't think I'll be working. Just like, whoa, like you're in a very privileged position to be able to be like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, seriously, yeah, true.
All right, 3JS.
It's fun, 3JS. Fun. It's gonna be fun.
Fun in three dimensions.
That's right. Fun in three dimensions.
Fun cubed, baby.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, thank you, dear listener, for listening and checking out this week's episode of Code Brew. Keep an eye out and ear out for our soon-to-be-announced email where you can reach us and let us know your thoughts, or if you have a suggestion, maybe we do one of the rounds, maybe upcoming, but a listener could throw their pick in the hat, in the ring. I don't know.
You can also just message one of us on LinkedIn too.
That's true. You can also do that. That's a great point. You don't have to wait. All right, cool. Well, until next time.
Until next time.